Father, thank you so much we're all together. And thank you for this wonderful congregation and the beautiful music and that wonderful peace that we had a little bit ago. And we pray that you continue to bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank your rector, Father. I just think of him as Alex. I want to thank Alex here. He was right. We got to know each other about 4 or 5 years ago, and we were all sort of, you know, fighting a little war that thankfully came to an end. We're moving on. We're leaving that behind, and we've got our eyes fixed for the future. But we were in that little battle together, and we had it was a lot of fun. And in one sense, in another sense, it was kind of awful. But anyway, I'm really glad to be down here. I got invited down because I'm interested in theological education, and we're starting a school for ministry in our area. And we're going to be working hard to strengthen the body of Christ. That's what we're about. We're trying to build up the body of Christ so that we will be as strong of Christians as we can possibly be. I was praying really hard on the way over here, and as the church service began, as to what the Lord wanted me to say. And he usually gives me like one particular idea, and then I just preach that idea. And I'm going to preach that idea today. And that is, I talked to Alex a little bit before the service, and I said, what kind of congregation is this? He told me a little bit about you, and he said, maybe it'd be good for me to share a little bit of my testimony. So I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony, then I'm going to say a little bit about Abraham, because that's the main focus. You notice that in all of the readings, that they talked about Abraham. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about Jesus and how they all fit together. But the thing that came to my mind in praying about, giving a little bit about my testimony, is that, and I don't know how I got into this particular situation. When I was young, I used to sort of, when I was like about 16, I read three or four of Freud's major works. One of them was Interpretation of Dreams, another one was on Errors, one of them was called Totem and Taboo, and I began to sort of analyze the world, and I don't know how I got into this, but I was just always interested in what is real and what is true. And so I went to Swanee for undergraduate. I graduated. I went to grad school for 5 years in mathematics and almost got a PhD. I did everything except write a dissertation. The whole time I was doing that, I was reading books and trying to figure out what was true and real. And then the Vietnam War came along, and I left graduate school to get involved in the anti-war movement, and I was still ferociously trying to figure out what was real and what was true. And finally, I began to sort of disintegrate personally. And I read a book called The Outsider by a man named Colin Wilson, who basically, when I got through reading that book, I discovered I was kind of a certain personality type called an outsider. I was living in this basement up in Michigan State University. And I just felt like I was doomed. And I remember I just gradually fell into despair. And I remember thinking, how am I going to figure out how to live? You know, Tolstoy wrote a book one time called What Must We Do? What Must Men Do? I just couldn't figure out what to do, how to live, or what was true, or what was real, or anything like that. And I remember a friend of mine called me up and said, I ended up at Swanee for a summer teaching their mathematics. And then a friend of mine called me up and said, I want you to meet somebody, and I didn't go. Well, what I didn't know was that this guy was a Christian. And so I ended up leaving my wife because I was going to pieces, and I didn't want her to get involved in what I was about to do. And came down to Florida, and I met a friend and gave my life to Jesus. And I made a prayer to him: Jesus, if you exist, reveal yourself to me. Because I'd been an atheist or at least an agnostic for a number of years. And I didn't believe in God. And the reason I quit believing in God when I was a kid was because I made a decision really early on that I am not going to believe in anything unless it can be experienced. And I never met anybody that had experienced God in my whole life. I remember when I was a sophomore at Swanee, I read a book on mysticism. I remember thinking, that is the way to know God. That is to personally encounter him. I was really taken by you all when I walked through the door a little while ago. And when I don't know whether you call them the band or the musicians, begin to play, and we sang that opening song, Amazing Grace. And as we were singing that song, I began to feel the presence of God here. I began to sense the reality of God in this congregation. So I became a Christian because Jesus revealed himself to me. You know, I said, Jesus, if you exist, reveal yourself to me. And he revealed himself to me. I experienced him. I mean, he healed me in the beginning of really terrible things. And he did it through his body, the Christ. I mean, through his body, the church. And as I think about that, if it weren't for the body of Christ, if it weren't for the church, if it weren't for people laying hands on me and praying for me, if it weren't for people witnessing for me, if it weren't for the Holy Eucharist, if it weren't for the Scriptures and the power and the wonder of God revealed in the Scriptures and the worship of the church as we gather before the throne of God, I would be dead. I would have absolutely nothing. And so as far as I am concerned, you are the most important people in the world. You are the most important people in the world because you belong to that great body of Christ, the church. You know, when God appeared to Abraham, and that was like about 1,800 years before Jesus was born, almost 4,000 years ago, God appeared to Abraham. He said, leave your land, your kindred, your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Well, that's what I've discovered, that the church is a blessing to all the nations of the church of the world. We just got through reading that passage from Galatians where Paul says, you know, anyone that believes in Jesus Christ, who has faith the way Abraham had faith, that Abraham was saved by faith. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and has faith like Abraham is an heir of Abraham, belongs to the nation of Abraham, and receives the blessing that Abraham received. And what that means is that the promise that was made 4,000 years ago reached its climax 2,000 years ago in Jesus. When they ask him about Abraham, he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. And then he went on to say, when Abraham was, I am, which is more like one of the names for God. And then they tried to stone him. And the truth, the thing that I came to, I had a bunch of scientist friends. I used to think the truth was a matter of collecting information, making a hypothesis, testing it, getting all the facts and figuring them out. Well, that's a form of truth. But the real truth is a person. The real truth is a person that could speak to me. And a person that can speak to you. And the real truth is Jesus Christ our Lord. Because he combines two things that are absolutely incredible and incredibly wonderful. And those two things that he has together are the combination, a fusion of power and love. In the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I am with you to the very ends of the world. That's his authority. He's with us. This is what the broken, lost people are longing for, to know Jesus Christ. And he has all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And that's why in the body of Christ, we see Jesus doing in his body the very things that he did in his body 2,000 years ago. We see him healing the sick. We see him forgiving sinners. We see him reconciling people that are at odds with each other. We see him lifting up the lowly, giving them dignity and respect. We see him casting out demons. And the most amazing thing we see of all is that he opens up our hearts and our minds to know the living God, the one who will live forever, who holds the whole world in his hand, and at the sight of his face, heaven and earth flee away. That's Jesus. And he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And he has the authority to do all these things. And that's why he fulfilled the promise made to Abraham. Among your descendants, I will bless all the nations of the earth. And Jesus, above all, is that descendants. And the mighty nation that he formed was us, the church. And we're to be a blessing to all the nations of the world, beginning with the people that are around us and ending with the folks in foreign countries to whom you send missionaries. That's Jesus, the truth, the mighty nation, you, the most important people in the world. And he has the authority to do that. And then the other second great thing, and this is so meaningful to broken-hearted people who are living in holes the way I used to live, who are in utter despair, who have no hope, who don't think they'll ever arrive at any truth, who've had unsuccessful or terrible love affairs that broke their hearts. He's not only has all authority, he loves. He loves like no one else has ever loved. As it says in John's gospel, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And so when I prayed to Jesus way back, and this was in 1969, long ago, and I said to Jesus, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. The thing that he revealed to me was love. That's what he revealed. I'd been leading a hard life. I'd been committing some really brutal sins. I'd done some terrible things. The devil had a hold of me. I was having stratospheric impressions of destruction and rage. I could hardly control myself. I was losing my mind. And I remember I was living in Ocala at the time. And I got back with my wife and we started living together. And we lived together for all the rest of her life. And I was faithful to her that whole time. And then she died back in 2003. We started living together. And I remember after I committed my life to Christ, all the evil that was in me just started boiling out of me. And I was in hell for a year and a half. And I remember one night, I didn't think I could live. My pain was so severe. I was having these electrical shots coming off of my body. I felt nauseous. My head was killing me. I was having these hideous images bursting through my brain. I thought I was going to die. My anguish was so terrific. And I got down to the church, and I was within about 6 feet of the church. And all of a sudden, I sensed that my tormentors would put somebody in my place. And so I cried out with all my strength, put it on Jesus. And I was instantly healed. Now that is love. No one else is willing to die in your place like that. Lots of people may be willing to die for you. But if they die for you, they cannot heal you. They don't have that kind of authority. He has taken the sin of the world in his very flesh. He's taken the suffering of the world into his heart. And by the power of the forgiveness that he proclaimed to all of us, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He has been raised from the dead because he lived a sinless life. And he lives. And the power and the wonder of all of that resides in our midst. When we hear the sermon, when we praise him with song, when we take the Holy Eucharist, when we eat his body and blood, and the very life of God enters into us, and we are infused by the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we become that great redemptive nation that God promised to Abraham 4,000 years ago. There's a question that needs to stand before all of us, and it's a simple one. Are you going to follow him all the way? Do you really want to follow him? And if you decide you want to follow him, you can't hang back. We're all sinners. We came walking into this place, and one of the first things we did was confess our sins, because we're all sinners, and we're put right with God by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, who justifies us with God. And God looks upon us with favor because we hold to Jesus Christ in faith. But then after that, we need to live the Christian life. And in the church where I work up in Jacksonville, I teach a class. It's called our 2-on-1 class, or I used to teach it. We changed things around about 6 weeks ago. I don't teach it anymore, but I used to teach it. It was called Spiritual Disciplines. And if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a follower of his, like the disciples, Those disciples talked to him every day. Those disciples heard him talking to them every day. Those disciples saw him doing deeds of power and love every day. Those disciples got commissioned to do deeds of power and love on a daily basis of many different kinds, whether it be taking care of children or praying for healing or taking care of administering the finances of the church or evangelism or whatever it may be. But the bottom line that I taught in that class 201 was that every day we are called to get up and talk to Jesus and to hear from and from here and to hear him, to walk with him. And to do that, you need to set aside every day, sometime in the morning or when you're at your best, at least 15 or 20 minutes to pray to him, to read the revelation of his word and Holy Scripture, to sit in silence, to write down what you think he wants you to do, and to go out and do it. Now, I preached a long, sort of a long sermon. I had a little conversation with Alex before this began. I said, how long should I preach? He said, well, you know, I usually preach about 20 minutes, but I preach every Sunday. You're a visitor. You can probably go 25. And I said, all right, I'll go 25. And, you know, if you've been preaching as long as I have, you got this little clock inside of you that just kind of runs along. And mine reached 25 about a little while ago, not very long ago, a few minutes ago, a couple minutes ago. And so I just want to leave that with you, because we tell the folks at the church where I am now, and I tell the people in that class, the hardest thing you do, the one thing that you will find difficult to do is to set aside time every day to be a disciple of Jesus. And it is so important. And I preached this big fancy sermon and talking about, you know, truth and how I got healed and Abraham and Jesus and justification and healing and miracles and the whole thing, and told you that you're the most important people in the world, and you are. And so I'm going to leave you with one practical suggestion. And that is, if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ and belong to that mighty nation that God promised to Abraham, if you want to do that, then you need to walk daily in the footsteps of Jesus. And you need to set aside time daily to pray to him and to read your scriptures and to write down his commands. And if you're having trouble doing it, and I frequently say to my congregation, how many of you are having trouble doing that? And guess what? Practically everybody raises their hand. You, for the moment, are my congregation. How many of you have trouble doing that? Ah, great. This sermon actually has value. I want to end this sermon with a prayer. Let me encourage you to do that. Do it. And if you have trouble with it, get together with a friend and tell them you have a problem doing this. And get a little group together and to encourage each other and hold each other accountable. And go do that. Because this is a vital step that we all need to make. And I only say it because I know it's true everywhere. As we do this, we become even more that wonderful nation that God has chosen to bless the whole world. And that promise to Abraham that was made 4,000 years ago is going to come true in you. So that's a major step forward. You want to come and worship. You want to be accountable to some folks. And you want to pray on a daily basis to make all that happen. So let me end with a prayer. Father, thank you so much that you're faithful, that you called Abraham and made a promise to him. Thank you that you fulfilled that promise in Jesus. Thank you that we are that mighty nation. Thank you that Jesus calls us to be disciples. And thank you that you will empower us by your Spirit to walk with him on a daily basis by reading your word, saying our prayers, and listening to your voice. In his name we pray. Amen.